Good morning, everyone. So as Dan introduced, this morning we're going to be looking at prayer. Specifically, we're going to be focusing on three areas. We're going to be looking at the habit of prayer, we're going to be looking at how to pray, and then we're going to be looking at how it changes us. This morning we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, so if you have your Bibles, dig them out. And I would love to have 5 volunteers to read a verse out each from the Bible. Hands up who's happy to read a single verse. Ian, can you jump to Luke 5, verses 15 and 16? Another person. Someone to read Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Kerry, thank you very much. Luke 9, 18. Thank you, Len. Luke 9, 28 and 29. Thank you, amazing. And Luke 11, verse 1. Who's happy to read Luke 11, verse 1 for me? Luke 5, 15 and 16. Yeah, cool.
But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer.
Wonderful. Kerry, 6. Luke 6, verse 12.
It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God.
Amazing, thank you. Luke 9, 18.
Now it happened that he was praying alone. The disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?"
Thank you very much. Luke 9, 28 and 29.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning.
And Luke 11, verse 1. Perfect.
Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples."
Thank you very much. Amazing. So we've got there a little spread of Jesus' prayer life. If you've still got Luke open, keep your thumb in Luke chapter 11. We'll be coming back to that later. But you can see here that for Jesus, prayer was the center point of his relationship with God. It was woven in his day-to-day routine, his weekly schedule. You can see him turning to it in times when he was busy. You can see him turning to it when he was utterly exhausted. Jesus was known to stay up all night praying, knowing that prayer was even more important than sleep. I just find that amazing. You can see, Jesus as our role model here. So for history and a bit of context, Jesus was brought up Jewish as a Jewish boy. He would have followed set times of prayer. It would have been built into his rhythm from a young age. So he would have prayed morning and evening and afternoon, as many of God's people had done for generations before. And probably also adding in the Shema, which was a declaration of God, which was often repeated a couple of times a day as well. It's interesting when you observe Jesus's prayer life and rhythms, it doesn't seem to be a burden or a drag on him. It seems he really enjoys those times of prayer. He enjoys going away and finding time and space to pray. And during those times of prayer, you can see he would literally become changed. He would literally, from his encounter with God, he would become changed through his experience of prayer. And my guess is that our relationship with prayer isn't exactly the same as Jesus's. I think that's probably fair to say. And my guess is that the vast majority of us, We sometimes can feel like prayer is difficult. It can be boring sometimes. It can become difficult to connect with. Maybe you've been burnt by unanswered prayers or prayers you've been praying for a while and you've not seen a result of what you're expecting. Sometimes it might even feel like a box-ticking exercise. That simply, you know, Jesus tells us we should pray, tick, I've done my prayers for the day. And you feel better because you've spent some time with God, but you're doing it for potentially the ticking of the box reasons. So that when you do then come to pray, you don't know quite what you're praying for. You spend a few minutes trying to work out what you're praying for and getting to that headspace. You might flick through the news of that day and be praying for anything and anything that comes to mind. And if you're anything like me, your mind starts to wander. We've just got distractions around us all over the place, and my mind starts to wander as I'm praying, and it takes me a lot of my time praying to refocus my time, my eyes on God during those prayer times so that I'm not thinking suddenly about what I'm having for lunch or who I'm meeting up with later. And I know that's probably a problem for a lot of us. And let's be fair, this experience might not be the same for every person here. And I'm sure from time to time we have good prayer days and we've got bad prayer days, or it looks differently for all of us. But if we're being completely honest with ourselves, it can be tough. And for new Christians, prayer can be a minefield. So this is what we're going to want to do this morning. We just want to talk about prayer. So what is prayer? Put simply, prayer is talking with God. Not talking to God, but talking with God. And put even simpler, this chap here, Paul E. Miller, writes that prayer is simply the medium through which we experience and connect to God. Prayer is simply the medium, the way through which we experience and we connect to God. Now, prayer is a practice. It falls under our spiritual practices, our spiritual foundations, our rhythms. We've got it on a banner there. It's a spiritual foundation for us. And it's not the destination. It's the means to get closer to God. We don't pray to get better at prayer. We pray to get closer with God. It is the way we get to something. And coming back to that river analogy of last week, and Dan touched on it again, prayer is one of those tributaries that feeds our rhythm. It feeds our us as we draw closer to God. It adds to the flow of our river and allows us to continue flowing. It's a connection point with God. So myself and my wife, Beth, she's out, if you don't know her, she's out with the tots today. We've been working hard, not getting it right all the time, but we've been working hard on trying to spend more date nights together, spending more quality time together, not just sat in the same room watching Netflix, not just sat in the same room doom scrolling Instagram for hours on end. Our intention is that we get out, or we stay in, but we actually have time to grow and we connect together. That we spend more time in conversation, we spend more time doing something that's going to engage us together. And the end goal isn't that we have a deeper, a better, you know, way of talking with each other. I mean, that'd be helpful as well. But the aim isn't that we get better at talking with each other, but the aim is that we grow deeper with each other. And that is exactly what prayer is like. The aim of prayer is that it allows us to grow deeper with God. It allows us to have a deeper relationship with God. It is our connection point with God. Now, my relationship with Beth will only grow if I spend time with Beth. My relationship with God will only grow if I spend time with God. We can't expect to have a deep relationship without nurturing that relationship with God. And I can't expect to have a deep relationship with my wife unless I spend quality time with my wife. So how do we get better at this? So the best teacher we have on prayer, unfortunately, although he's written great books, isn't Pete Gregg, who writes about how to pray and unanswered prayer. It isn't someone like Tyler Staton. I've got another book there. It's not even Pete Scazzaro or John Mark Comer. The best teacher that we have on prayer is, of course, Jesus. And his followers recognize that. And we get this beautiful request in Luke 11, verse 1, which is the last verse we had there read, where they ask a really unique question to Jesus. And they ask, teach us how to pray. I've got a little clip which we're going to watch from The Chosen, And this is how that conversation might have gone with Jesus and his disciples.
Do better. Rabbi, Philip said the baptizer gave his followers a prayer in addition to the daily traditional prayers. Perhaps you could do the same.
Yes, I'd like to learn more about what you're saying when you're out alone.
Now you're behaving like true students. This is what I like to see. And prayer is the first step in getting the mind and the heart right. It's why you see me go to it so often.
So teach us to pray like you do. Please.
When we pray, we want to be sure to first start with acknowledging our Father in heaven and his greatness. So you can say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we always want to be sure to do God's will and not our own. So we say, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Just a really short clip there. Sorry, it's a bit dark. I'd recommend going finding it on your laptop. Go and type in Jesus' disciples learning to pray on YouTube and see what comes up. And I highly recommend that Chosen series. It's really helped me connect with the Bible in a fresh new way. So back to where I am. So that's how that conversation might have gone. Back to John Mark Comer. A teacher on prayer, not the teacher on prayer. John Mark Comer observes that this question that the disciples ask, teach us how to pray, is the one and only time we see in all four Gospels a question that's being raised by the disciples like that. It's not documented that the disciples ask to teach us how to heal the sick, or teach us how to perform miracles, or teach us how to cast out demons, but they ask, teach us how to pray. And that's what's documented in the Gospels. So John goes on to speculate that this is because they started to catch on that Jesus' entire kingdom work, healing the sick and everything else, is rooted in his life with the Father, and it was rooted in prayer. So I think the disciples acknowledged that and recognized, actually, this is comes out of a birthplace of having a good prayer, a good connection with God. So that's their question that they ask, teach us to pray. So we've landed at the Lord's Prayer. And you can read this together in Luke 11. It continues into Luke 11, verse 2. And this is where he says, when you pray, you say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we are also to forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. You might recognize this is a shortened version. There's a second writing of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel, which we find right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's one is more abridged. It's shorter and it's unique in its own way. Now, this prayer would have been revolutionary to the disciples. And it was the biggest shaping of prayer since Moses. And Moses would have been a founding father back with prayer and write and bringing things together. So let's just unpack this prayer that Jesus gives us. We need to first notice that where we request for our needs, it doesn't come until halfway through. And that's where most of us start. Most of us start with what we're looking for. I want this. I need this. Please help me to, or please help. It might be for someone else. You might be asking to intercede on someone else's behalf, and you're praying for someone else. Don't get me wrong. There is time, there's space for this. And God loves to provide for us. And it comes later. But notice that Jesus' prayer begins with acknowledgement of God as his Father. That's his favorite word that he uses for God, his Father. And he encourages us to do the same. And that would have been radical. but it's a personal connection. In the same way that, you know, I could be talking to about someone else, I could be telling you about my dad, and I could tell you a bit about him and what he does, and bits and pieces like his name or what he did for a job. That's not a personal connection. I'm telling you about a person. If I tell you he's my father, then that suddenly becomes quite an intimate relationship, and we're encouraged to do the same. It's a word that brings us closer to God. Next, we have this line, hallowed be your name, which is, hallowed is a strange word. It's a word that has fallen out of English language unless you're saying the Lord's Prayer or you're talking about the hallowed turf at the Twickenham rugby ground. It's a word that isn't used in common language these days, but it's one of those amazing words that means so much in a single word. It means to sanctify. It means to be made holy. It means to consecrate. It means to greatly revere. It means to honor and to set apart. Now choose your favorite of that and insert it in there. Our Father, holy is your name. Our Father, honored is your name. Our Father, your name is sacred. This line is giving glory to God. Next, we have a line which, your kingdom come. And again, this would have been a fresh one to the disciples to be praying, your kingdom come. That wouldn't have been a regular prayer for them. In fact, it might well have been one of those prayers that where it says John the Baptist told his disciples, you know, he gave them a prayer. That might well have been part of a line of a prayer that would have been radical, that they were going, John gave us a prayer to pray. And we see that, you know, we see John the Baptist saying, make way for the kingdom, for the coming king, make way for Jesus. And that might well have been part of a prayer that would have been radical to his disciples, but it would have been not a prayer that would have been prayed a huge amount. But praying your kingdom come is putting God's needs before our own. It's saying that I recognize what you've got to do here is more important than what I need right now. And I want to be a part of it by saying, your kingdom come. It's almost an invitation to God to use you as part of it. It's saying, I want to be a part of what's going on here. I want to be your hands and your feet doing your works. And the more I do for God, the closer I become with you. So we're saying, Father or Abba or Daddy, you've been close. Your name is holy. Let your kingdom come. Let's see what you've got, what plans you have. Pete Scazzaro, he writes that prayer is more about listening to God's plans and participating in those plans than twisting God's arm for what we want. And the truth is, and the truth as modeled by Jesus has dramatically transformed me. It's interesting that prayer is transforming. And that's what we're wanting out of our prayer life. We're wanting to draw close to God, but also wanting it to transform us. It comes to our spending time with Jesus, our being with Jesus so we can become like him. We want to be transformed to be more and be more shaped like Jesus. So only then do we get to asking for God's provision. And give us each day our daily bread. Seems an odd phrase to us. It could mean quite literally the loaf of your choice. It could mean that actually, Father, I need you to provide the food that needs to go on my table. And for some of us, that is right. Some of us need to pray for the food that we need provision, that we're short on. But it goes beyond simply our earthly needs, and it's a give us the food we need, or give me the provision I need to be able to pay the bills, or whatever it looks like. But it goes into the spiritual realm as well. It's a connection with God. It's saying, give me what I need to get through my day. And if we look in John's gospel, in chapter 6, verse 35, we see that Jesus says that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. So we're asking for the bread to feed us each day is to feed our human and nourish ourselves as humans. What we need, it could be to pay the bills, but it's also to nourish our souls, to nourish our relationship with God. And then we don't have a huge amount of time to dive into the huge topic of praying for forgiveness. But we recognize it's in two parts here. We recognize it's important to forgiveness goes both ways. We need to spend time on our knees apologizing to God, saying, I'm sorry, I've messed up. And we also need to recognize that it's just as important that we forgive others. Jesus has got a huge amount on teaching about forgiveness, and that's a completely different topic altogether for a different day. So I really encourage you to pray regularly, to build a daily rhythm for yourself, a daily rhythm for yourself. And Jesus taught us this prayer. Jesus taught us this prayer. And it can be used as a model, just as much as a prayer in itself. You can connect to God and you can pray this prayer, or you can use it and insert and use it as a template to pray through. Recognizing God as Father, asking him what he wants to do here and wanting to be a part of it and let God's will be done here. Asking for what we need and then spending time asking for forgiveness and asking time and remembering that time to be a time to forgive others. And through our connection with prayer, we're wanting prayer to be a connection with God where it grows us, it nurtures us, it allows us to draw close to God. And the closer we are to God, the easier it is to be able to hear what is going on, what he wants to give us. It's easier to ask that when we're asking for provision, it's easier to hear a response from God. And to align our hearts with his, then we know actually what our asks and what our wants already are. That we remember we're asking for the right things. So at the start, I said that we were going to be looking at the habit of prayer. So we saw Jesus and his habit of prayer and what it means to us. We then have looked at how we pray and this model that Jesus gave us about how we pray. I haven't gone into detail about where we pray or anything like that. But what we do want to do is look at how it changes us. And to do that, I've asked Harriet and I've asked Fiona to come and share. So that it's not just me talking this morning, but we're looking at others, the way it shaped and impacted them. And so, yeah, come and join me. And we're just going to have a quick chat, just a chat about what, there we go, you can have some chairs. And look at what prayer means to you, actually, what difference it's made in your journey. What does your prayer rhythm look like? How do you pray? Where do you pray? And actually, what result have you seen it change in you over a lifetime of prayer, over daily prayer, weekly prayer, and things like that? Who would like to kick off? I've left it very open. I'll butt in with some questions where I see, but yeah.
I just love prayer. And I know that when we pray, God's listening, and I know that things change when we pray. So haven't always found it easy. Got an accent, put me off a bit. Always thought that everybody else so could pray more eloquently. And I was always a bit self-conscious, I think. But the more you dig in, the more you get excited by it, the more sort of passionate you get, and you want to do it. So I guess, yeah, that's what. I want to pray, and I just know that it brings me closer to God. I just know that I'm in a relationship with him, and as I pray, things change and my faith grows. It's just,
So what does prayer look like for you? What does it look like on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis? You know, I know that you are part of the intercessors, you're part of the prayer walkers as well. It'd be lovely to hear a bit about that and how that way of prayer shapes your prayer and your relationship with God.
Yeah. We start off the day with prayer, with some lectio and thinking about things. And I pray usually for the family. And anybody who's sick, who's on my mind, God often gives me people to pray for that really need prayer that day. And I'm a bit of a random prayer. When I'm out walking, I sort of feel really excited, grateful for God's creation. That's one of the big things, just praying about creation. Yeah, I pray for people in ambulances. I feel prompted sometimes just to pray for people, do that.
And when you pray, when you're spending time with God, what do you notice a difference in your relationship with God or your day by day when you've spent time in prayer? Or
definitely, yes. If I spent time in prayer, faith just grows and confidence grows. Everything looks different.
And from your experience, I'm sure you've had many answered prayers as well as many unanswered prayers. How do you feel that? What does that look like when you're praying for something? Can you see a result, or when you're praying for something, can you don't see what you expect?
There are times when you think, "Oh, I haven't had that prayer answered," and then I think, "Well, God sees the bigger picture." It might be that I haven't sort of prayed the right prayer, or it might be it's not the right time, or I just accept that God's in charge and He knows better than me.
God does know better than us, for sure. Yeah. That's lovely. Harriet, how about the same for you? What does prayer look like for you week by week? How do you pray? Where do you pray?
So I am normally the first one up in our house, which I think, again, is probably God waking me, which is nice. So I do start with I light a candle while it's still quiet in the house. I read maybe a little passage in the Bible in a different book, and then I pray or have some worship on, which is normally, or it has been, the most enriching time of my day. Currently, as some people know, I struggle in the mornings to have that connection. So I connect more at other times. So I wake up with a really busy mind, feeling quite anxious, and I just hear my own head when I pray. So it's just like all my old thoughts going around, and I struggle to hear from God. So that time that has been like the most precious time in the morning, like really filling me with strength for the day, has changed slightly. But that's okay. I don't mind that, because I've got other times when I do really connect with Him, and when I feel that's for me going for walks. So once I've dropped the kids off, my stress levels go down. It's like, all right, I can feel something. I'm not just stressed. And then they go to school next to a park, so I normally do a round around the park, and I can pray differently. So I'm not stressed out in my head. I just feel free, and it flows naturally. And that's, for me, generally the case on walks. So being out in nature by myself, I'm an introvert, might seem like, oh, she just likes to be without people. I love people, but it's my time with God when I'm by myself. When I'm distracted by people or children or household or whatever, I need to be out of the house, and then I can actually just pour my heart out. I don't have like a, I don't know, I just talk to Him in my head, or like
that's really
quietly. And that's when I actually hear back from Him, where I actually meet Him. And I love that. That's like, it just fills me up inside. I feel like from trying to do it on my own, I'm a planner, I'm a very head-based person.
Yeah.
Charlie will know. I've got a busy head. But that's the time where I actually feel like He fills me up from inside, and I come away inspired. I come away with ideas that I didn't have before. I feel different. I feel fuller. I feel I've got more direction. I feel I come back with more energy and positivity.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which again surprises me, is writing, like journaling. Like I hated, like in school, like when you had to write essays, or I hated that. And now, with a lot of time, actually, writing is a way of prayer for me, which really surprises me. I thought, like, I'm the last person who's a writer type person. But it's actually like on paper, I can, when I read back, like I've just read back the last year of my journal entries, just looking back at the year, starting a new year, and I can hear the conversation between me and God. It's like I can hear, like, I try not to think, like, again, it's against my natural way, because I think, and I, when I have to say something, I plan it out first, or I just think too much. But with writing, I just go for it, and whatever comes, I just, my hand just flows. And when I read back, I can actually, or in the moment as well, I can hear what God's voice is, because it sounds so different to mine. And I can hear my worrying kind of mind going on about everything. And then I can hear his voice so much clearer than if I just sit there and pray and it's silent and I think, oh, don't know what you're saying. But if I just write, it's much clearer. That's surprisingly, great. I'm really surprised.
I love
myself,
that.
Actually. I don't know how he does that, but
thank you.
I get a lot of strength through that.
That's a big encouragement. Thank you both. And a final question, which I think has been answered mostly through what you've been sharing, but how do you notice prayer changes you? As in, if you're spending some time in prayer, what impact does that have on the rest of your day or your mood or your relationship
like
with
I
God?
Just said, it changes me completely. It gives me hope. It gives me strength. It gives me inspiration. It gives me direction when I feel like I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go. When you're filled with worries of the world and what's going on in your life or other people's lives, it just gives hope and strength and life and that kind of bubbliness that sometimes a bit dead because you're so weighed down by everything. It comes back out where you're excited about something because you've heard from God.
Yeah.
He's told you something and it feels right. And I always think he knows me more than anybody else. So when something comes from him and you just feel like I can trust it, I know that's right. You go with a different energy than if you're uncertain and you're not sure. And you think like that's my own head trying to work something out rather than my Father kind of leading me, taking my hand and leading me. And I feel safer, more at peace. Doesn't mean, I'm not trying to say that's always the way. Sometimes it takes a while and you've spent lots of time praying and you haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
But when you hear it,
That's great.
I love it.
Thank you. Fiona, do you have anything else to add? Anything else to add into that? Do you have anything else to add into to
No, just confidence, faith, hope, knowing that you're not alone, that you've got a good friend who's always there for you and always wants the best for you.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Thank you both. Thank you very much. So, the habit of prayer. A habit of prayer. Prayer can form a daily rhythm. Prayer can form a rhythm of what you set your own expectation and stick with it. We're in a new year. Praying daily might seem like a daunting, thing to do. But even if you set aside 30 seconds each morning to spend some time with God, just praying, even just praying that shortened Luke's Lord's Prayer, and allow that to slowly take a habit in your day by day, or pray a couple of times a day. Or you can, if that seems too daunting, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to fit that into my diary. Well, choose a single time in the week. Begin somewhere, begin small. Allow prayer to become a habit that you get formed in you. Allow it to then shape you and change you. And just see if you can look back when we get to January 2026 and go, wow, okay, interesting. That looked like it had an impact on my life. And look at how it does shape you and how it draws you closer to God and changes us, allows us to draw close to him, allows us to feed us. So we could spend an entire series simply looking at prayer, but that is prayer and the Lord's Prayer, just in a nutshell. So, thanks, Dan.